The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's, that's right, Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh. We should try that. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, hopefully, before this show is over. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I still have no idea. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't really care about that. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. Here you go. What can our prayer warriors pray for you about? We have people that listen to this show from all over the country and outside of the country. If you need prayer, we are here. How about that? It's just that simple. We'll take our faith, combine it with your faith. We'll pray. We'll petition the Lord. It's awesome, right? All you got to do for that to take place is reach out to us. Just call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like heading into the week with great faith and expectation.
Aww.
Aww. Isn't that nice?
Thank you, David. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. You know, it's important for people to understand when they talk to you. It's like heading into the week with this optimism. It's that same sense you get. It's like, oh, I'm excited about what's coming. Not heading into the week with your nose on the ground going boo, boo. It's exciting. So when you talk to Jammin' Jacob, it's exciting.
Well, thank you. How was your weekend?
It was very, very, very busy because my wife was busier than I, so I was working really hard on my projects. We'll talk about the Super Bowl in the next 60 minutes. We'll do a little bit of Jake's take, and I'll give you some insights that I derived from that process. But Noelle's pulling her ninth 12-hour shift. She's got one today, one tomorrow, and one on Wednesday. With that being said, I'm letting everybody know ahead of time I'll be off on Friday because she's getting a day off, and I'd like to see my wife. I feel that's a good idea. I don't know. Call me crazy.
Yeah, that many hours, just hearing that has me tired.
Yeah. It's just it's so exhausting. She comes home, and then it's like, how was your day? She goes, I got through it by the grace of God. And then she goes, okay, I'm going to start tea. Time to go to bed.
she walks in the door. Good night.
Yeah, it's just like, wow. So we'll get to that and deal with that. And that's not my favorite thing, but I support her, and she loves what she does. So that's a big, 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 big deal. We'll open it up for comments in the next 60 minutes on the Super Bowl. Just be prepared for that. If you want to share, don't go weird on me. We're just keeping it easy and light. In the meantime, we have many other things we do need to cover because nothing is more important than kingdom. Don't tell me, oh, I've got this. And stop. Nothing is more important than the Lord and our direction to him and our commitment to him. Okay? So now let's just slow that down. If you've got something that you need prayer for, we've given you the phone number. Let me give you the text, and I'm also going to give you the email. And let me say this quite clearly, and that is simply this. You can call us, you can text us, you can email us anytime during the show. So in San Diego, it's 11:36. In Denver, it's 12:36. In Dallas, it's 1:36. Detroit, it's 2:36. And like we've said many times before, if you're on the moon, we don't know how you're breathing. There's really no oxygen apparatus up there. But the bottom line is simply this. If you want to reach out, you can. A way to do that is also, besides calling the 972-445-0770, is to text. That's very safe for many people. Though I do reply to the text, usually with a little image or something, or hands clapping or something like that. 214-210-8483. That's the text number. 214-210-8483. I'll slow it down for those of us who need it slowed down.
214-210-8483.
Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org, D-A-V-I-D, David, at the A with the goofy thing around it. He must increase. And that's from john330.org, because we're a nonprofit corporation. That is how we exist. So you can email david@hemustincrease.org. You can text 214-210-8483. You can call 972-445-0770. It can be about an opinion about something, a comment on something, a thought, a question. You might have a prayer request, like we mentioned. You might have a praise report. And praise reports are super duper cool simply because when you give a praise report, it acknowledges God and gives glory to God. It reinforces it in your own life, which is very important since the devil is trying to steal those kind of things away. And it also encourages and blesses other people by showing them that God is active. So these are ways that we bless people. We're going to do trivia, and we're going to do history, and we're going to do maybe some jokes. I got at least one really good joke. But in the meantime, in the middle of all of it, we are in 2 Timothy. What? We are in 2 Timothy chapter 1. See, that's how good I am. And we're picking it up at verse 15. So we're at 2 Timothy 1:15. Hold on. That's me sneezing. Yeah, I don't get to do that very often. It won't kill you. Here we go. Besides, all the germs are in here, so don't worry about that. Okay, verse 15. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are, oh, get ready because these are the big names, Phygellus and Hermogenes. Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesimus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out and was very jealous and found for me, very zealous and found me. The Lord grant him that he may find mercy on that day of the Lord. You know very well how many ways he ministered to me in Ephesus. Don't worry, I can read. It'll help. Here's the bottom line. Paul is talking about his engagements, and he's like, look, you know, he just finished saying the Holy Spirit's been given to us as a commitment to keep us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We talked about that last week. And then he says this, you know that those in Asia have turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And here's the problem. They didn't stick with Paul. They didn't stick with him in the ministry. They abandoned him. Now, there is a lot of writing about these two, about Phygellus and Hermogenes. But they are only mentioned here in the New Testament and nowhere else. So I just want to make sure you understand that most everything you've ever possibly heard preached about them is speculation, tradition, or fanciful stories. What we know for sure is that these people didn't stick with Paul. They dumped Paul. They moved on and didn't maintain in the ministry or the support. That does happen. We don't know anything else about that. Reading into that can be a very dangerous element in Scripture. So you got to be careful. But what he does say is, verse 16, is the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. I can say it. Don't worry. Because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. So Onesiphorus, he receives two commendations from Paul. He refreshed Paul, and he wasn't ashamed of Paul, even though Paul was in jail. And that's a very challenging thought, because sometimes when Christians are in awkward places, it's easy to evaluate and judge them even beyond for what it should be. But Paul makes mention of him and says, look, this guy sought me out. He was looking for me. He was trying to help me. He was trying to refresh me. He wanted to bless me. How cool is that? He wasn't ashamed of me in my position. He didn't think I was less of a Christian because I was being persecuted for my faith, even though the things against Paul were fully trumped up charges, not even accurate. That's what he's saying. He wasn't ashamed of me. He was proud of the gospel proclamations. So here's a question, and this is what challenges us, right? When's the last time, just bear with me, when's the last time any of us, myself included, sought out somebody just to be a blessing to them in multiple ways? When's the last time we made an effort to hunt somebody down just to bless them? Because we wanted to be a blessing to them. You see, that attitude, that spirit, that is the Christian functionality that the Lord wants us to exist in. And then he says this, and I'm going to have to deal with this because it's part of this passage, and we're just reading through it, and here's what he says next. He says this in verse 18, the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. So here is a huge, huge element where Paul is saying, this guy's been such a blessing. I just can't wait for the Lord to bless him. Unfortunately, and it should not surprise any of us, that an entire doctrine has been built on verse 18. Did you know that? And it has nothing to do with what the verse says, but an entire doctrine at other churches, other denominational or groups of gathering Christians have based it on. Paul was mentioning that he wanted his faithful friend to receive mercy from the Lord on that day. The most direct reference to that day is the second coming of Christ. Paul is not praying for someone to receive mercy that they would not otherwise receive. In other words, Paul can't intercede for someone standing before the face of God. He's not trying to get extra mercy tossed in that person's direction, saying, I'm praying that he gets extra mercy because he's going to stand before God. It's too late. That time has passed. That's not even what Paul is saying. But there's a whole doctrine, a whole church group that thinks, well, I can pray for this person so that when they stand before God, God will give them extra mercy and extra grace, and I'll do that as long as you pay me this, say this, function like this. And the answer is no, 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 no. That's not how it works. You get what the Lord has granted you, and you don't get an extra ounce of it when you're standing before him because somebody said he should get an extra ounce. The mercy you get's the mercy you get. And so what's important is that Paul's just saying in a statement where people have made a doctrine from it, I'm just hoping when that guy faces Jesus, he gets every possible great moment blessing that could ever be given to him. That's all he's saying. He's not saying, I'm going to make sure by pronouncing it. Here, give me money. I'll make sure it happens. I'll pronounce it. None of that exists. That's trying to buy the grace of God. That's trying to earn that grace of God for somebody else. That doesn't work that way. And for those of you not familiar with those doctrines, good. You don't need to be. For those of you that are familiar with those doctrines, you should know they're ridiculous, right? And so what Paul says is, man, I hope my buddy, when that day when the Lord comes and he sees the Lord, he gets every awesome thing possible that he's got coming to him. He's been a great guy. I love that guy. But the biggest lesson out of this is twofold. One, we don't want to be like Phlegelus and Hermogenes who abandon people I don't know. Have you ever felt abandoned? How would you like to feel abandoned when you're doing the work of the Lord and then the people that were with you are just no longer with you? That's a toughie, right? But then at the flip side of that, he's not going to leave it there. He's going to say, hey, at the same time, I want to make sure that I give my buddy some props. Onesiphorus was a blessing. I mean, he tried to refresh me. He tried to encourage me. He wasn't ashamed of me. He loved me. Man, I hope the Lord blesses that guy. That's what Paul said. You see how normal and natural that is? People will take it, rip it apart, and make something of it that doesn't exist. Stop it. Stop it. Okay, thank you. All right, here's your first trivia question, because this next portion is white out fantastic. Let's do our trivia first. Let's start with this one. This is a better one. How many days did the flood last? How many days? Was it 30 days, 40 days, or 40 years? Genesis chapter 7, verse 17. How many days did the flood last? 40 years, 40 days, or 30 days? Okay, there you go. There it is. If you think you know the answer now, you can't just say 40, because you guys either say 40 days or 40 years. Or 30 days. You got to give me a time frame with it. If you think you know the answer, by the way, you can reach out to us by calling 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So again, how many days did the flood last? 30 days, 40 days, or 40 years? Your reference is Genesis chapter 7, verse 17. Right now, I'm going to send you up to the website and give you all the great stuff that's on the website. Blah, 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 blah. Here's something really cool. I got so much of my project done because Noel hasn't been around that I'm going to, in the next week, I'm going to finish the first two projects. And guess what? We're going to have an audiobook for both projects in the next 4 weeks. So about 4 weeks from now, both the books completely rewritten in both e-book format, paperback, hardcover, and audio. That's right. That's how much stuff. That's a lot of stuff. Ha, wow. Okay, so I just want you to know that. But on the website, there's a place to give. I want you to know that because that's relatively important too. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Never give the money reluctantly, never give it under compulsion, never be manipulated into giving, ever, ever, ever. Make sure when you give it as unto the Lord, and you make sure you're giving it to him. That's the first thing. And don't give God your last $5 in the sense of don't give him what you got left over. Give him the first of. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what he wants. And if you don't give to our ministry, fine. You still have to give. You still should give with that right spirit and attitude. Check it out on the website for all of that and more. HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Look, look, look. Manamachu. Goopa noopa. Goopa noopa. Manatoto. Michi michu.
Bless you. Okay. Well, it sounds like he's sneezing. I don't know.
It does sound like that.
Come on. That's what it sounds like. All right. Let's go back to the trivia question. Now, listen. You guys got to listen to the trivia question. How many days did the flood last? That is the trivia question. And then we say 30 days, 40 days, or 40 years. So one of those you can scratch out right away. It doesn't follow the question, right? Okay. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well as send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, we go to this next portion, which, by the way, is superb. And it's, I don't want to say it's better than the rest, but it's better than the rest. Here's what it says. After Paul says, the Lord grant him that he may find mercy on that day. You know how very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Wah, 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 wah. Verse 1 of chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let me just say this in the most prompt, specific, direct way. Too many of us Christians are super duper weenies when it comes to grace. We do not understand the principle of being strong in grace. You don't want greasy grace. That's just slapping grace all over the place with no appreciation. Absolutely true that we do not want that. You don't want to have a licentious kind of attitude, which says, I'll just send my brains off and then just ask for forgiveness. That's where a person operates with grace being greasy grace. However, simultaneously, too many Christians think, I received grace to this point. Now I've got to make it right. Like, that is not how grace operates. You don't get grace to a point, and then you start taking over. That's not how that works. In fact, the scripture says, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. The word does is in play, not did. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. And so, especially in the Greek, understanding is, hey, when you're messing it up, that's a bummer. But guess what? Grace sustains us. Now, I just challenge anybody to read Psalm 51, verse 1, and recognize that that's David seeking forgiveness for this whole setup with Bathsheba. Not only did he sleep with another man's wife, technically borderline rape, but he also had the husband murdered. He lied, he deceived, he twisted, he used the army. He did all these terrible things. There's about 13 or 14 super large sins. Not that the other sins aren't large, but super large sins. Even giving directions to have him assassinated, the whole thing. And you line it all up, and the first line he says to God in Psalm 51, verse 1 is, oh God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And you just think, well, no, wait a minute. If God was going to give him straight out justice at the moment, he would have torched him. But the grace of God is active, not just for our salvation, but for our situations. What does Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 say? We come to the throne of grace with confidence. Number one, it's a throne of grace. That we might receive mercy. You got to open up your hands to receive mercy. And find grace in our time of need, because grace is not just salvation, it's situational. And we need to be strong in situational grace. Hey, you know what? If you blew it, that doesn't mean that grace has left the universe. And this is a weakness that I have. I function to this. I don't know if you guys do this way, but you know, get grace for a situation and or grace in a circumstance, and then I you know, kind of get that sense that it's right. I'm right with the Lord. But then instead of just saying, thank you for that grace, and I'm relying on that grace, then I kind of try and take over a little bit and try and make it so that, you know, he doesn't have to give me grace again. I'm doing a better job. It's not that I'm trying to escape grace per se, but it is that I don't understand how powerful grace is. It's that even if I try and fail, that grace is still there right behind me. And Keith Green wrote this magnificent song when he was alive, and it's called Grace by Which I Stand. And the great line is, I must remember that when I'm getting older, that nothing lasts except the grace of God.
by which I stand and by which I'm saved. It's like, that's what we got to remember. Isn't that beautiful? We need to be strong in grace. I want you to be strong in many things, but we've got to be strong in grace, in the unmerited favor, in that gift from God. We need to be strong in hanging on to that. If God has given you grace, maybe you can give yourself a little grace too, right? Okay. Trivia question. How many days did the flood last? Was it the rainfall? How long did that take place? Was it 30 days, 40 days, or 40 years? Your answer, of course, is 40 days. That's the answer, how long that lasted. If, by the way, you are in San Diego or Denver, or if you're in Detroit, go to HeMustIncrease.org. Click on the Listen Live button. You can keep listening to the show. If you are listening by radio or by app, KAAM app, just hang out. We're going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to HeMustIncrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. For 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
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 Bazinga. I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.